5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Horrifying and unexplainable things are happening to people all around you. You just don't realize it. And most people are often reluctant to speak of such occurrences. Most people move through life oblivious, and the truth is, they may never truly know what's lurking all around them. At any moment, the world around you could be shifting in ways that you can't perceive, hidden forces manipulating your path and dragging you into alternate dimensions, unseen entities watching you just out of your sight, or inexplicable phenomena quietly haunting your airspace. A shadow that lingers too long, a sound that comes from nowhere, or a fleeting sensation of being watched could all be signs of something beyond your understanding. This week, we explore some of the chilling modern stories from ordinary people experiencing absolutely out-of-this-world situations.
Hello, citizen. This content creator is a confirmed conspiracy theorist and has been subject to repeated penalties for spreading controversial rhetoric. Please proceed with caution. Trust the government. Remain silent. Your compliance is appreciated and, of course, non-negotiable.
The world around us is changing daily. Unexplainable things are happening to people literally all the time. So many people are afraid to tell of their experiences, even in these bizarre times, saving their stories for quiet forums on the internet where they can hopefully get just a bit of reassurance that they're not losing their minds. Their stories are lost, buried beneath the thousands upon thousands of others. While most of us, who yearn for stories and new knowledge, clues to understanding the mysteries of our world, we are left to consume the same decades or centuries-old tales yet again. A different storyteller, but the same information, the same monologue. That's why these stories from around the internet are so important. These are regular people's stories. These are the ones that are coming out in real time. These are the crazy things that you will never hear about that are happening all around you all the time. The Creeping Gray. I had a living room in my parents' two-story house that connected to stairs leading to the second floor of the house. You could see completely down the hall on the second floor from the couch in the living room. One time, my family went away on vacation, so I had my cousin come over while I house sat for them. I'd been alone in this house for a couple of days now, and I just really wanted some company. We're sitting on this couch, playing Xbox or something. The stairs leading to the second floor are almost out of my vision. At the very top of the stairs, on the left, is a doorway leading to a bathroom and nothing else. We were up pretty late gaming when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a gray face lean out and stare at me for a split second. I didn't budge. I just barely noticed it. But as soon as I did, it was gone. I hadn't snapped to look at it, nor did I say anything. I just continued gaming for about 3 seconds until my cousin said, "Did you just see that?" As soon as our eyes connected, we both knew we saw the same thing. The second my cousin said that, I felt my heart sink. It scared me so much to have him pretty much confirm what I saw, but brushed off. I had immediately assumed it was just one of those blurs or darting shadows you get in the corner of your eyes at times. The creepiest part is that it slid out as if it were lying on the floor. Whatever it was, its head was at level with the top of the steps, right at the bottom of the bathroom doorframe. It just sort of slid out, stared, then slid back. Again, I just saw it from the corner of my eyes, but it appeared to be gray-skinned with black hair from our combined description. We went upstairs and checked the whole bathroom, including the insides of luggage bags in the closet. We never found anything. To this day, I still can't have a door in my house open. I'm afraid I'll be looking down the hall and some gray-skinned creature will just lean half its face out to silently stare at me and then vanish. To all the people saying it was a raccoon or something, you think exactly like me, using that as an excuse to go make sure the bathroom is clear. We both knew it was a lie, but we both would have felt safer getting attacked by a raccoon at that point. That's why we checked every single bag in the closet. Whatever it was we had trapped in the bathroom, it had nowhere to go. Whatever it was, it disappeared without a trace. Yeah, I really don't know about this one, guys. I've had pretty similar experiences in my own life, to be honest. Sometimes I have those experiences here, where I'm at right now, like where I currently live. And to me, this sounds like some sort of goblin or maybe fae, but I'm also kind of adapting my idea on the grays all the time and do kind of think that they could also just be wandering around like any other cryptid. I think currently I have a goblin issue in my house where I live right now. I know that sounds crazy. Someday I'll bring up why I think that, but I do have a goblin held captive, and and anyway, I think he's haunting my house. So anyway, some of this kind of sounds like that type of situation. But with the goblins, it's almost not as creepy. This sounds kind of like really creepy, like almost menacingly creepy. Like I don't like it. It made my skin crawl a little bit. It would be interesting to see if this house was close to a forest or a large area of wilderness, or something like that, so that I could sort of expand on the idea of the fae, right? Lately though, I've really been looking into this idea that interdimensional beings are much closer to us than we ever really actually realize, and that they are around us at all times, and they can observe us whenever they want. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it could be a gray as well. It seems like grays are sort of demonic entities sometimes, and that's kind of the idea behind them, I think, for the most part. They are demonic entities that are sort of manifesting as these gray aliens. And you know, we've talked about aliens a number of times over the past week or two, but part of the reason that we may not have received full disclosure yet is because we would not be able to handle the truth that these demonic alien beings that can shapeshift and travel interdimensionally and have outrageous technology can also actually possibly observe us literally whenever they want to and whenever we don't want them to, like on an individual level. Like they could be standing over your bed while you sleep. And I think oftentimes they are. I think that there is so much that goes on when we are not fully awake and fully aware. And disclosure includes all of those creepy, dark little secrets about what goes on when your eyes are closed. And when they're not, because you can't see them. So yeah, this guy could have seen one of those demonic entities creeping around on him. And these things are just beings as well, you know, and it seems like sometimes they accidentally are seen in a very physical and unexpected way. It's almost like it's an accident on their behalf. Like they never meant for us to see them that way, but they have to have a physical body in order to enter our plane of existence or something like that. I don't know. That might explain how it could vanish without a trace. It can no longer be on this plane if it's not in a physical body, so it leaves. Enters back into whatever form it originated as. Story 2, The Interdimensional Staircase. One night, when I was about 16 years old, I swear I glitched into the Matrix or something. I'd finally decided to get off my computer and go to bed, around 2 a.m., if memory serves me correctly. At that time, my family and I lived in a decently sized two-story house. The staircase to the second floor was pretty basic. Head up a few steps, turn on a landing halfway up, traverse the remaining few steps. And at the top, you're only a couple of footfalls from my bedroom door. Someone explain to me, please, then, how I got lost on this staircase. Sure, it was dark. But even then, you'd have to be a special kind of stupid to not know how to walk up these stairs after you've already done it 1,000 times before. Just keep one hand on the railing and you don't need to use your eyes. I swear that as soon as I reached the landing, I spent 10 minutes just continually walking upwards. Realistically, it only takes someone 5 to 7 seconds to walk up these stairs. 3 if they're running or skipping steps. I realized I'd been walking for much longer than that, stopped, and immediately felt uneasy. I'd walked up those stairs in pitch black darkness so many times before, but even with my hand on the railing, I was getting nowhere, just endlessly walking upwards. My skin crawled. If my brother hadn't turned on the upstairs hallway light, I'm not sure I would have made it to my bedroom. Guy blinked sleepily at me and asked me if I was okay, and all I could say was, I legitimately have no idea. Told him the next day what happened, and he told me that the reason he'd come out of his room in the first place was because he'd heard footsteps on the stairs for several minutes. What's going on, man? What was that? I wasn't so tired that I just mindlessly walked up and down the stairs for a while. I was completely awake, and not once did it suddenly feel like I'd turned around to walk back downstairs at any time. I still get chills thinking about it. Oh boy. Okay, everybody who has heard my story about being lost in the dimensional bleed, raise your hand. If you hadn't, go check it out. It's episode 10 of the 21CD podcast. But we talk about portals a lot here. My OGs know that. And I know exactly how this storyteller feels because I've experienced the same thing. My brother was with me, actually. A lot of you guys have met my brother digitally before. And we were in this abandoned building in Old Town Milwaukee. And just like this storyteller is saying, we were going up this staircase, we were holding the railing, and we were not really diverging from the staircase at all. It was plain day. We could see, and we still managed to get lost. And as a matter of fact, we appeared to end up in a completely different building somehow. Again, that's episode 10 of the 21CD podcast. It's called Lost in the Dimensional Bleed. So basically what I think this is when two dimensions kind of bleed into each other and they make this muddy, confusing middle area where they mix, and that's where we sometimes get stuck, or we get lost, or we become a missing 411 briefly, or we phase in and out, or something happens where we don't know how to process. Could also be low iron. Maybe you need to drink more water, right? But obviously, if we look past such simple explanations and give people the actual benefit of the doubt, I love how science always tries to explain this kind of stuff with explanations like that. Like, we're too stupid to figure out whether or not we're dehydrated or something that's caused us to enter this sort of state of hallucinations, or if we're getting lost on a staircase for extended amounts of time. Give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Maybe something weird happened. They really want you to think you're so stupid and incapable of understanding reality. Anything that could possibly eliminate the possibility of the spiritual realm. They're going to have a really hard time explaining all these aliens pretty soon. I'm so curious to see where the narrative is going to end up. On a wide scale, people are going to be experiencing interdimensional creatures and interdimensional situations very, very soon. I think a lot of people are. I've been saying that since I started podcasting. That's practically the reason I started podcasting. So these experiences that people are going to start having where they're getting lost, where they shouldn't be getting lost, or they're experiencing beings they've never seen before, plain as day, or mysterious spiritual happenings becoming like semi-regular, like it's almost regular to see miracles or some kind of thing that appears magical. Yeah, I believe all that is going to happen very soon. We're going to become privy to the spiritual world on a global scale. So I'm really excited to see where the narrative will go then, Rockefeller. How will you explain how and why you've lied to us and deceived us for so long, right? Story 3, The Thing in My Bed. Okay, so when I was little, my dad would sometimes sleep with me in my bed. No weird stuff or anything. Sometimes me or my sister would be scared because we saw some horror movie or whatever, and we would go to sleep to my parents' bed. But as we grew up, it became more annoying, especially for my mom, who would always end up in the middle between my dad and whether it was me or my sister or both. So then instead, my dad would sleep with me. This stopped at probably like age 10, which was when my grandfather passed away. But move forward to age 14 or 13, and one Saturday we all went to sleep, but my dad stayed awake, drinking some beers and listening to his old vinyls. I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe early morning, I don't know, and I feel trapped between my blankets. And this body I feel next to me, way heavier than me, covered with the blankets, and I'm trapped between that body and the wall. So I really can't move a lot or pull the blanket or anything. I didn't really think anything of it. I knew it was my dad. I recognized his presence. But I did find it weird that he would sleep in my bed, especially after so many years since the last time. But I thought maybe he drank too much and didn't know where he was going, or my mom kicked him out of the room, or I don't know. I just went back to sleep. In the morning, I woke up and he was still there sleeping under the blankets, or so I thought. I could feel the weight, especially since I used to be very skinny back then, so I could feel his weight in the mattress and the volume under the blankets, and could even hear his breathing, which is almost snoring, and feel his heat. Since I couldn't jump over him and didn't want to wake him up, knowing he had stayed up until late, I slipped in direction of the footer of the bed, stood up, and checked back to see if I hadn't awakened him. I go downstairs, and as I approach the kitchen, I see my mom and my dad, who was preparing a cup of coffee. I felt like my stomach fell to the floor. I immediately run back upstairs to my room, and now there's nothing on my bed. No body. Not even the blankets kind of pulled up like when you wake up and push everything to the side. No, they were completely flat. Just my side of the blankets was lifted, the one next to the wall. I was literally in tears trying to understand what happened because I couldn't understand that in the middle of the night I could have dreamed or imagined that someone was there and I was still half asleep. But in the morning, I was completely awake, and I did all this circus to slip through the footer of the bed to not wake him up, still feeling his weight and his breathing. I even stood up and looked again, and the blankets weren't flat. There was definitely a body under those blankets. I do admit I never actually saw a part of his body, But it was winter, and he always covers himself from head to toes. And that's exactly what I saw. Someone covered from head to toes. I was so scared, but I couldn't dare to ask him or tell my parents what just happened, because if he told me he didn't sleep in my room, I would have freaked out. So at first, I decided to just pretend it was him, and he just woke up before me, and he left the mark of his body under the blankets. But then as years went by, it made less and less sense, so I just decided to forget about it. Until many years later, I walked into their room and saw him sleeping like this, covered from head to toes, and unlocked the memory. So I often think about it. I crush all the blankets I have to see if I can recreate it, but no. There's no way I can make it seem like there's a body under these blankets. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen a ghost, to be honest. And I don't know if this is a ghost, but it's the first thing that comes to mind. Ghosts are kind of like aliens for me. I have kind of a hard time explaining them. I suppose this could be something like an entity that's in the house. And obviously it seems like a physical being as well. It's putting off heat. Maybe it could be like a demon or something. I don't know, something that is a shape-shifting type, but she never saw it, so she doesn't know what it looks like. It could have looked like literally anything under those blankets. That's pretty creepy. I wonder how old the house is. I wonder if they're in the country, if they're in the city. I really wonder where exactly this place is. And she said it was in the winter. So if it's in the winter and she's got things creeping under the blankets with her and they're big enough to sort of pressure her up against the wall, well, that's pretty creepy. So I don't know if it's a ghost, though, because of that physical element. I don't know if I've ever even, you know, considered whether or not a ghost could be physical in any way, because don't they do things sometimes, like they'll move a chandelier or something like that? Like, I always just kind of understood ghosts to be like bursts of energy, and I've always wanted to see one or be given some kind of profound evidence, and I think I do believe in something like that, but I'm not sure how to define it. I'm always confused about ghosts and where they fit into things like reincarnation or even redemption. If you are a ghost, does that imply that you still walk this plane? Are you trapped? Is it by choice? Are you here because you want to be? Or are you in limbo? Is it temporary? Like, what are the situations behind being trapped energy on planet Earth after you die, you know? But maybe this isn't even a ghost. Maybe that's wrong altogether. I have no idea. What do you guys think? Story 4. The Norwegian Angel. So curiously, it seems this story has since been deleted from the internet. Kind of bizarre. I went back to try to find it again and I couldn't find it. And whenever that happens, I always wonder what the situation is. Did the storyteller regret their confession and delete it? Did the internet break open and swallow those words and now they're just lost forever? Or was it scrubbed by some online entity, whether AI or bots or, you know, a group of people who are tasked with preserving secrets on bizarre topics? Who knows? But this is a pretty interesting story. In 2011, I was doing the post-college backpack through Europe thing. I made it to Oslo, Norway in early June with my backpack and some clothes, laptop, a wallet with a credit and debit card, and a 20-euro bill. I go to the main train station and try to buy a pass. It doesn't recognize my card. I Skype my dad to call my bank. It's not on their end. I change my 20 euros into krone and buy a bus ticket to my hostel, so I'm at least somewhere with a bed and food. I try running my card there, no dice, and the employee mentions that the banks are going on strike at midnight. I walk across the street and try at a gas station. Still no. The hostel lets me come in and go to my room. I'm starting to wonder what the heck I'm gonna do in this incredibly expensive country for a week with no money at all. This woman shows up in my room, who is apparently local, and says if I let her borrow my laptop so she can apply to a job, she'll take me to an ATM in town. Deal. We walk to the grocery store. They're not giving out cash tonight. No worries. There's an ATM across the street, but it has a sign that says it's out tonight too. It's okay. She knows of another one that's a little further out of town, but won't be as popular. We walk 3 miles of back roads and trails. I spend the time wondering if this is how I disappear while she talks about horses. And we suddenly come out into a random Norwegian suburban strip mall with an ATM and a line. This ATM actually takes my card, and I withdraw enough cash to get through the week. We then walk our 3 miles back and return to the hostel right around 11:30 p.m. in the last gasps of Norwegian summer twilight. The next morning, the woman is gone when I wake up. The bank strike also gets called off, and my card works everywhere I try it for the rest of the week, including the main train station. Weirdest thing, and it's not supernatural or whatever, but like, what was she doing at that hostel? Who knows how to walk from a hostel to a strip mall 3 miles away, pre-smartphone and constant GPS? Why did my cards start working? Or maybe, why weren't they working before? Bro, you saw an angel, man. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." I think angels get a little bit of a head start for some reason. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure that they don't operate with the same like time parameters that we do, meaning that time is probably a little bit different for them, how it flows and how it flows around them specifically. So maybe they could see stuff that happens to us before it even happens, and that's how they know where to be, or something like that. Who knows? But something like this sounds like a classic situation where the storyteller had a run-in with one of those angelic beings, these spiritual entities that perhaps just are walking the earth. We have to think of these beings as kind of like us on a spiritual plane. They're not exactly like us, but they share similar traits. They have free will. They're curious. They have moods and they've got feelings. They've got urges and lusts, and they can also undergo like great sadness and pain, and they experience emotions. So who knows who this story teller encountered? It does seem like a who to me, but to me, it also sounds like one of those beings who was just aware of what was going to happen to him, and for whatever reason, intervened. Or maybe it's just a very convenient stranger. We had a really similar situation when I was in Iceland the first time, a few years ago. We were trying to cross a river, and we were driving this SUV, and we weren't exactly sure if this SUV was going to make it across the river because the river was swelling from the glacier that was melting off the mountain and sort of impregnating this riverbed with water, and we weren't sure if we were going to get through. And so we were on one side, and out of nowhere comes this van, just busts out of the countryside, and just it's a huge built van, and it just launches across the river, no problems. And then it sort of stops on the other side, and this guy gets out, and he just kind of looks at us as we're like sizing up the river, trying to figure out if we can cross it. Well, he decides to get back in his van and whip on back over across the river. He comes up to us and he tells us this little story of how to cross the river, and tells us a parable and gives us the advice to look for the little ripples, because that means little rocks, but big ripples means big rocks. Pretty common sense, but to this day we refer to him as Icelandic Jesus, and this sounds like a similar story. Story 5, the Norwegian Sasquatch. This story was also deleted before I could return to it for a second time. I actually did want to go back to this one so I could pull it off the internet. I wasn't able to do so. I couldn't find it again, so I am glad that I hastily copied it, at least, before it was gone. But again, that just like adds to the mystery for me. I always wonder about why these stories just go missing. And it happens all the time. When I'm researching, there's stuff that just vanishes while I'm looking at it. It's crazy. So the story goes like this. I used to live on a rather remote farm in the middle of Norway. My home is located at the end of a fjord that will take you out to the sea, and after a while to civilization and the big city. You can also drive into town in about 4.5 hours from my home. But this is more or less just to give you who hear this story a sense of scale. I have two neighbors about 40 minutes away from my home, but they are seldom at home, so I am for the most part alone with my dogs and my farm animals, sheep mostly, and a few pigs. Around my home there are deep woods, and looming above is tall mountains and deep valleys, overgrown by thick forest and heather meadows. I hunt these lands in the hunting season, but this year I have found myself pressed for income as the COVID-19 pandemic prevented me from having hunters come here to hunt deer, grouse, and moose. Now, this is relevant to my experience, due to my reliance on these guests for keeping my finances in good order. I was faced with the prospect of having to send all my livestock to the slaughter and generally accepting my inability to keep the family farm afloat. I had, since my rather unpleasant experience in the woods as a 16-year-old hunter, and the following vow to myself that I would never hunt that stretch of the woods that belongs to the property that I now own. Having grown a lot older and far more calloused when it comes to things considered odd or supernatural. So I got an extended quota for deer and roe deer, and having gotten this, I decided to use the profits made from selling the game to a local who sells to hotels and fancy restaurants in town. So on the last week of the deer and roe deer season before Christmas, I found myself deep into the high valley side amongst the heather meadows and sparse pine woods. I had left my pickup on the gravel road that ran along the fjord and hiked up the valley side with my hunting dog and rifle in hand, looking for red deer. I had been on the move for about 3 hours when the weather changed. A thick fog rolled in and blanketed the terrain. I stopped and looked around while I got my compass out. That was when the first odd thing happened. My dog stopped dead in his tracks and began shivering, as if cold or what came to my mind shortly after, that he was nervous. His tail was tucked between his legs and the shivering got more intense. Then, with a yelp that can only be described as one of terror, he bolted down the steep valley side. I yelled and whistled in an attempt to stop him before he hurt himself. There were both bears, wolves, and lynx around where I live, and the addition of the odd invasive wild boar made me more than a bit worried. Raising my rifle, a Springfield 30-06, slightly I looked around in an attempt to see what had caused my dog to panic and flee. I called out to scare away any nearby animals or make any other hunters realize that I was nearby, but the chance of any other hunters being on my lands are slim and none, since I do not sell many licenses for red deer or roe deer. I got no response, and only the utter silence of the woods and meadows filled my ears. It was then that the sounds of labored breathing and something resembling the odor of pinewood resin mixed with wet fur that was very filthy. Anyone who has worked with sheep who graze outside and has had the unpleasant job of handling said animals will know how wet, filthy, and unkempt wool will reek. At this moment, I felt a long, suppressed feeling of silent dread begin to creep into my bones. I start to back down the valley side, keeping a keen eye on the ground, as not to stumble, but also to look for any signs of whatever was lurking nearby. I hoped it was just my mind distorting the common sounds and smells of the woodland. Having put some 500 meters behind me, the sound and smells still hung around me. At that moment, I decided that I needed to warn whatever this thing was. So I raised my rifle, and in rapid succession, I fired 4 shots into the air. as such not to wound any unlucky critter. In my most nightmarish dreams, I could never have imagined the response that I got. A deep, guttural howl, followed by what can only be explained as something of great height and weight, making its rage known. A stone the size of a rucksack came hurling down about 10 feet above my head and landed with a great crash far down below. I'm not ashamed to admit at this moment I soiled myself as I ran like a whipped hare down the steep valleyside. I dropped my rucksack and binoculars somewhere in that valleyside. The only thing I kept a firm hold of was my rifle. A primal instinct in me told me I needed something to defend myself with. Although what chased after me, screaming in primal rage, would not have been fazed by my gun. I burst out of the woods along the gravel road and ran until I could taste a mixture of blood and bile in my mouth. Upon reaching my car, I vomited all over my boots and felt like my heart was about to explode from fear. But no stench of wet wool and feces hung in the air anymore. Well, except for that in my soiled pants. I shouted for my dog for what seemed like an eternity until my nerves caused me to climb into my car, drive as fast as I dared along the gravel road until I saw my home. Climbing out of my car and walking on legs that felt like they were made of gelatin, my heart nearly stopped when I saw my dog. He was a mess, muddy, his fur thick with twigs and heather, his eyes wide with exhaustion. I fumbled with my keys and unlocked the door and let myself in and my dog. In the hours that came, I showered, cleaned myself up, and took care of my dog, but my mind and body were ravaged with fear. Every sound I heard made me jump. I did not sleep that night, and when my significant other came home, she commented on how worn out I looked and how equally strung out my dog was. Interesting. That sounds like a Sasquatch encounter, honestly. One could say it sounds like a pretty textbook Sasquatch encounter. We've got the smells, the rock throwing, the sounds. You're out in the wilderness doing wilderness things. But, you know, it could also be something else. It could be a giant. He didn't see it. He knows it was huge. He knows it could throw large objects, like the stone. But he mentioned specifically the smell of wet wool. And of course, I know that the Sasquatch might have a very similar smell to that. Obviously, the smell of the Sasquatch is quite a popular detail. But imagine for a second, it's a giant who is wearing the hides of sheep that he's killed. We know the Nephilim were out there at one point, and some believe that they're still out there. So you got a couple crazy possibilities there. What do you guys think? Story 6, The Goat Thing of Alberta. I've told other unexplained stories on Reddit, but I'm not sure I've told the one about the thing my friend and I saw on the side of the road. I'll try and remember it to the best of my ability. It was about 12-ish years ago. If anyone else saw something similar, let me know. It's around 3 in the morning in rural north central Alberta. My friend and I are driving home from a high school party in which neither of us drank or took any drugs. It's the middle of winter. In Alberta, this means it's cold outside. This night, it was below negative 30 degrees Celsius, which is negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit. The whole way home, my friend and I are chatting about the usual things. What happened at the party, the boys we liked. While most teenage girls are chatty, this friend in particular was a chatterbox. Mostly I would listen and just react to whatever she said. Love friends like that. So because she would do most of the talking and didn't require much input, I'd zone out sometimes, looking out the window. We're about 5 to 7 minutes outside of town at this point, taking the highway, probably going 75 to 90 kilometers an hour. Using an online calculator, that puts us around 6 to 7-ish kilometers outside of town in a sparsely wooded area with no services open in town. As we round a corner, I'm zoning out, listening to my friend talk, when through the windshield, I notice glowing eyes off the side of the road. The headlights not fully hitting whatever it was. The eyes were green, yellowish. This would be normal, but these eyes are about 7 to 8 feet off the ground. At first, I think it's like a hiker or someone walking back to town, but their eyes wouldn't glow, and no one is going to be walking that far from town or any houses when it's that cold and late outside. This was a town of less than 1,000 people. As we drive closer, this thing appears to have goat-like legs. It's very heavy set and stands on 2 feet. Its arms drop down by its side like a person's, and it appears to even have some kind of dark clothing on the top half. It had something like goat-like horns that curved but went upwards. At this point, my blood runs completely cold, and I have a full-fledged instinctual freeze response. Hair is standing up on the back of my neck. I remember hearing my own disembodied voice think, "I shouldn't be seeing this. This is wrong." I even teared up. We pass by it relatively quickly, and I can't stop thinking about what that was. My perception of time was kind of weird after that due to panic, but now the lights of town are in front of us, and I realize my friend isn't talking anymore. I turn to my friend and sheepishly said, with tears still in my eyes, "Sorry, what were you saying? I must be going crazy, but I thought I saw something back there." She said, "No, it's fine. I saw it too. Did it kind of look like a goat?" So she saw it too. We had no idea what it was. We both came from hunting families, and I know the easiest critique is that it was an elk or moose standing on hind legs, but the arms of an elk or deer don't just fall beside the body. They buckle outwards a bit. Regardless, it seemed human-like in its stance, and it was very heavy set. Then you'd think, oh, it was a bear, but it had horns and curved back legs. I assume moose would be the same as an elk or deer, but I've never really seen a moose standing ambiently, typically just when they fight. Even our responses were odd. You'd think, given scary movies, you'd immediately flip out and react. Both of us just got entranced and terrified for a while, blood running cold. While the friend and I don't talk anymore, we talked about it a few times in the next years we were still in contact. She continued to refer to it as the goat thing. "Yeah. Yep, the description sounds like it's referencing a goat-man-like creature, which is a cryptid or folkloric figure with connections to a variety of legends, conspiracy theories, and demonology. Goatmen-like beings appear in stories and mythologies across many cultures, and they blend these elements of humanoid and goat features to create this entity." Okay, it's a common cryptid in North American folklore, particularly in areas like Maryland, Kentucky, and Texas. And this goat man is described as, yeah, like a part goat, part human figure, and it's often associated with bridges or wooded areas. And so we're checking a few boxes here. He's usually portrayed as malevolent and may even attack trespassers with a weapon, but also has a grotesque appearance. So the person mentions that they feel like they felt like they shouldn't have been seeing it, and that could be due to the malevolence of the creature. They also mention the strange appearance, which could be described as grotesque. In Greek and Roman mythology, satyrs and fauns are half-goat, half-human creatures and are often linked to some gods that they have. These figures were not traditionally malicious, but they did have goat-like features and horns and also humanoid figures. It kind of aligns with the description a little bit. And if you watched the last episode of the 21 CD podcast, you can... You might remember the Greek and Roman influence that was over North America for a long time, possibly because of ancient gods that once were in this part of the world. So when we think about creatures from, you know, Greek and Roman mythology, perhaps trapped in this realm, in this area, if you want to get, you know, if you want to go way off the deep end, you can sort of tie it in there. And, you know, it's not a perfect match, but we also have to consider the Jersey Devil. This legendary cryptid, which we talked about not too long ago, is said to have hooves and bat-like wings and horns, and might be a dragon, to be honest. It could be a demon, could be a witch. We don't know what it is. But it is often reported to have sort of a humanoid posture, and it's deeply tied to American folklore in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. And there's a number of other creatures that it could be, and we could go any number of places. We could go all the way to conspiracy theories and bring up like CERN and dimensional portals and all that kind of stuff, but it probably was some type of cryptid, and it sounds like the Goat Man. Story 7. NPCs in the cornfields. I was out with my ex-roommate on a night drive. We like to go driving and get lost in the country sometimes and just jam out to music and talk. We lived in central Illinois at the time, so it was pretty much just open land and cornfields. It was super dark though, so we couldn't see too much beyond the sides of the road and what was in front of us. My roomie was driving, and at this point we had the music off. She suddenly stopped mid-sentence. I had been looking at my phone, so I looked up at her when she got quiet. Her eyes were wide and her brow furrowed. I looked up at the road. On the left side, there was a man, just ominously staring into the darkness. Not even half a block later, there was another, doing the same thing, and another. About 10 seconds pass, and we see another man, facing the road but still on the left side, staring into our headlights with this blank, almost psychotic expression. My blood ran cold, and I couldn't explain why. It was so unsettling, even though they were just people standing out there. After passing all of them, my roommate suddenly says, "What the heck was that?" I said I had no idea, but I wanted to go home. I'm sure there's some plausible explanation, but that night still makes me shudder for some unforeseen reason. My roomie was creeped out too. There weren't any houses out there. Just fields with a few patches of trees. No farm equipment, no mailboxes, cars, or driveways. Just empty darkness and fields. Twilight Zone crap, I swear. Yeah, this one's creepy. So this honestly might surprise people, but I genuinely believe that this is a slightly irregular, but not 100% abnormal behavior attributed to NPCs. Remember, guys, and I've talked a lot about this concept before on this podcast as well. Just search anything NPC related on the 21CD podcast, and you'll find some stuff that they want to put me in the ground for. Like, no cap. Basically, the idea is that there are human-like non-humans literally just roaming the planet. And they look like us. They get jobs like us. They've infiltrated us. They probably don't have kids like us, because I'm not sure if they can have kids yet, but they do have friends and they've got feelings, but they're not quite human. They're basically skinwalkers, but capable ones. There's just something very off about them. And personally, I believe NPCs like this could be any or a number of things, ranging from fallen angels, shape-shifting and not really knowing what to do. Like, you know, they could be demons as well, or, you know, not really knowing how to pilot a human. Like going back to the demon thing, they could literally be demons or Nephilim souls inhabiting corpses or flesh suits or maybe even living hosts. And then you've got arguably the creepier one, and that's that those are actually just regular people who have just lost it to the beast somehow, and they're broken and they're not present anymore. They no longer know what they're doing anymore, but they once did, and they're just sort of a product of the destructive elements of this world. Story 8. The Observer in my phone. I was watching a video on the Costa Concordia cruise ship disaster that happened back in like 2012. Around 30 people died during the incident. I get a phone call on a landline phone listed as K Concordia. I pick it up and say hello, and I hear a woman gasp, and then the phone call ends. Thought nothing of it the day it happened, but I later realized how unnerving it was. Okay, yeah, this one is making me cleanse the house, for sure. Like, if this happens to me, I'm maybe getting a new phone. I'm definitely burning some sage, saying some prayers. That's a weird one because, you know, and I don't want to act like I can relate to everything, but I have had a lot of strange experiences in my life, and this is kind of like similar to one thing I had happen when I was a really little kid. And my dad is the one who told me this story. I don't personally remember this, so maybe my dad is just making this up. But he tells me this story of how I was able to recount for him something that he had seen when I wasn't around, and so would therefore have no knowledge of what he saw. But I was able to, like, flawlessly recount to him what he had seen at that particular moment in time, which in this case was some kind of documentary on aliens on TV. But I wasn't even there, so there's no way I could have seen it, and yet I was able to tell him what happened. Why does stuff like that happen? Like, A, was that a time traveler? Did he actually get a phone call from a time traveler? Or was someone pranking him? Was it a coincidence? What a weird coincidence. But if it was, how would a coincidence like that happen? You know? The Costa Concordia cruise ship, and then you get a phone call on a landline phone listed as K Concordia. That's really bizarre. I don't know if I've ever seen Concordia as a name. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of weird. So how would you explain that? You kind of get back to the everything's connected matrix idea, the whole, you know, the energy you put into the world is the energy the world gives back to you type stuff like that. Like, I don't really believe in that. So I don't know. This one's got me stumped, but this would definitely creep me out for quite a while. Story 9. That's not my mother. This story is from a childhood friend who told me this, and it still unnerves me to this day. She was genuinely freaked out, and her family even backed up her claims. So, here goes. Basically, my friend and her family moved into this rental property, which my friend said was haunted. It gave everyone an off feeling. Those who visited or stayed over would mention it. I myself experienced this odd feeling of foreboding whenever I went over there, and I believed in the consensus that the house was probably haunted. It honestly felt oppressive in the house, and you would feel this pitiful dread that is hard to compute into words and was extremely uncomfortable to experience, to say the least. Anyway, this particular inexplicable event that is the basis of this post was enough for my friend's family to pack up and stay with relatives until they moved out permanently. On this fateful afternoon, my friend had arrived back home from the park and heard an argument taking place in the kitchen between her mom and dad. My friend thought this was odd, as both her parents should be at work, so she called out, "Mom?" before unlocking the front door and going inside. My friend said that the house fell instantly silent, an uncanny silence, like all the air had been sucked out of the place, and felt stifling and wrong. Then her mom said, "Hey, Becky, we are just in here." My friend was just outside the closed door at this point and froze beyond opening. It was her mother's voice, but there was something off, like the cadence was missing, that made it her mother. It sounded flat and unnatural. My friend decided to bolt out the door and wait outside until her brother came home. But she said as she turned back to the house, she saw her mother peering at her from the lounge room window. But it wasn't her mother. The face was the same. Everything was the same. But her face was devoid of anything that made it her mother. There was no recognition on her mother's face. There was no indication that she was looking directly at her daughter. There was no emotion in the expression. There was nothing. Her eyes looked unstaring and utterly blank. My friend screamed and ran down the street to her mother's work and confirmed that she was there all this time and had never been home. Initially, my friend's mother reasoned that someone must have broke in, but a later investigation proved nothing had been stolen, and the back door was locked, as was the front door when my friend came home. No one could rationalize who my friend saw in the window and why it looked so much like her mother, but not fully human. So that was the deciding factor to nope out of there and find somewhere else to live. The landlord of the house denied anything like this happening when they lived there, but did admit that tenants didn't stay long, saying there was something wrong in the house. My friend also told me that she was the only one who actually saw anything definitively sinister in the house, but her family said they definitely felt an evil presence there, which ultimately manifested into the doppelganger experience that my friend had. Utterly terrifying. Yeah, man. The concept of the doppelgangers are the worst. The worst. It's a double likeness. It's basically an exact likeness of a person. It has roots in folklore and mythology and even psychological studies. The word itself comes from the German term Doppelganger, basically, which just means double goer or double walker, and is often associated with like bad omens and identity crisis, and of course, as is this case, existential dread. And stories of doppelgangers appear across many different cultures through ancient and modern times. The Norse had a similar concept called the Vordogr, which was a spirit double that precedes a person, mimicking their actions or voice. Unlike the malevolent doppelganger of German lore, the Vordogr is seen as kind of neutral, more like an echo of events that are yet to come. But in the German folklore, the doppelganger is actually a harbinger of doom, and seeing one's double is thought to predict imminent death or severe misfortune. So I wonder if she experienced any of that after this. Because the double is not just a passive reflection, it actively mimics or sabotages the original person. So these doubles are said to appear to others, confusing and damaging reputations by committing acts that the original would never do. And believe it or not, there's a lot of modern real-life doppelganger encounters. This isn't as modern, but the poet Percy Shelley reportedly saw his doppelganger shortly before his own death, and in the vision, his double gestured toward the sea, which foreshadowed his drowning. And then we have Catherine the Great. She's this Russian empress, and she reportedly saw her doppelganger sitting on her throne, and she ordered the guards to shoot at the apparition, but it vanished. And then soon after that, she fell ill and died. Even Abraham Lincoln allegedly saw his reflection split into two faces in a mirror, one pale and ghostly, and his wife interpreted it as an omen of his assassination. So yeah, doppelgangers are the worst. They are incredibly creepy, and I would never want to encounter one. And you know, I believe that doppelgangers are a massive tool of shapeshifters, and so watch out for yourself out there. Watch out for yourself, but also watch out for that other self out there. All right? Listen, guys, I know this one was a little bit different. I wanted to get back in touch with the people all around us. I wanted to get away from the stories that are just recycled over and over. And I think I'm going to be doing this more often. I'm going to be diving into the more modern things that are happening all the time right now. And I'm not going to do it every episode, but from time to time, because I think this is very important. And we can't just look at the past to understand what's going on around us. We have to look at what's going on around us right now too, because it's not exactly the same as the past. It's an evolving situation that we live in here. So yeah, if you like the show, give me a like, give me a follow. I need all the help I can get. You guys are awesome. Love everything you do. See you next week. And remember, don't drink the water and question everything.